That's crazy.
That boy driving yet?
No, it actually is after scrubbing off.
Oh my gosh. Tyler.
Yeah. Are you afraid of heights? Is that why you don't like going to the
street? No, I just, that feeling like when you're, when you're falling. I'm really, I'm really psychological though. Like, I can psych myself into loving them, or like, but if I'm just like, be my normal self, because like I play different personalities sometimes in my mind. So, so like when I'm in the right, when I'm in the right frame of mind, it's fun. Like when they challenge me to do something, there's no way where I'm backing down. Absolutely. Then I'm going to be all about it, you know, and it's like whatever. But afterwards, I'll probably puke and everything like that and hate everything. I'll hate everybody that was a part of it. But no, it's just not fun to me, Macy, honestly. I'd rather sit there and eat some Dippin' Dots and talk to someone. You know. Yeah.
Dippin' Dots are like my zoo.
Dude, Dippin' Dots are so good. They're so good. And plus, like, okay, it's just not fun because the shaking, I don't know if I've, like, just getting older has, like, made it so much more uncomfortable, but it just feels like you're, like, tearing your body apart.
You are.
When you're riding those things. But the Mamba, I'll tell you this. The Mamba and the Patriot are probably my favorites. Like, those are fun. Like, the okay. The Patriot's fun. I don't think the Patriot's bad at all. Yeah, very smooth. Exactly. So, I don't mind those.
I can ride like that, yeah. Like, the stomach feeling doesn't, like, bother me.
What about that sink and throw, like, on the drops? You don't care about that? Oh, really?
That's what I liked about it, but it makes me sick to my stomach. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was the worst. Yeah.
I can't ride, like, the sea dragon.
Is Oceans of Fun as fun? I've never even been over there. Really?
I'm sorry, Danny. I need you to move this
way. Well, we never go there. It's just too much because you gotta, like, put swimming trunks on and all that stuff like that.
No, it's really not that hard. They have, like, tubes of locker rooms.
Oh, really?
Well, and it's, I really like it because they have, like, a bunch of stuff you can do there. Like, they have, like, this thing you can go, like,
they have just as many rides as Worlds of Fun?
No, but they're, like, but it's, like, pretty, but it's spread out. Like, there's, like, a big wave pool. They have, like, a lazy river. They have, like, they have multiple water slides. Like, it's just a lot of fun.
Okay.
And I feel like the lines are never as long.
I've heard some horror stories about that wave pool, though. How deep is it? How deep is it? How do they keep it from, like, being smashed against the wall? It's like dissipate out.
And then it sits still for 12 minutes.
And that part, and that part's annoying.
Yeah. Everybody just sits. And then everybody's like dead silent. It's like 5 or something.
Just go
for a youth minute.
Yeah, there's a couple of things we got to talk about for youth events because people keep throwing it on my lap. Yeah, you got like 1 month, girl.
You have to frame it all in.
We got one strong event for you, Amanda. We got to go out big here. Yeah. Unless we do like a little hybrid thing.
She was really wanting an all-nighter based on her face.
Is that right?
No.
Hey, let's go ahead and get talking about that real quick. So, guys, July, we're going to send our seniors off. So not you. How about you or? But Sydney, she's here. Amanda.
Sierra.
Sierra and Josh. So July is going to be there. July something. I don't know what. But July something, we're going to send them off and send them on their merry way to help out the old Timothy Project and join the biggins in here. So seniors, you guys got first dibs on what we do. Definitely. Yeah. So, but that is one of the options. So, I mean, that we'll put that on the table. We'll park it. We're not saying we're going to do that, but we could totally do like a lock in here or somewhere else. So that's an option. We could go like do like a fun event somewhere. So there's a couple things that have been tossed my way so far. Obviously, Pastor Bob is wanting to get those, get you guys rappelling or rock climbing, whichever one they're supposed to be doing. Josh Leek came up to me tonight, was talking about this place out in Liberty. You would have to, Yeah,
he said they got over 70 miles.
That's crazy, dude. That's fast. That's so fast. That'd be so fun, or it'd be so final. It'd be like the last thing you did. Yeah, because I've done go-karts that went 40 to 50, but that was indoors, and that was just ridiculous. That was like almost, you couldn't even see what was going on because you're just going so fast. But and that was, and it hurt too, because like we were like running into each other, and it was like, wasn't fun at all because it was just too painful because you're going so fast. But so that's what I'm thinking, like 70 on a dirt track. I was like, yeah, the drifting would be cool. Yeah, if you know how to drift, that would be cool.
I feel like you don't even have to know how.
Dude, yeah, you're gonna drift anyway, right? It's just gonna happen. It's natural. But so go karts are an option. Kenzie chooses life. I don't know. You guys got anything else we should throw on the table, or you guys are what want me to go look into? A breakout room, yeah. You have to use your brain for that, though.
I think
Eight to ten people. Eight people. So, I mean, we're dwindling right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You almost good. Smack. Oh.
Dude,
don't you hit my daddy down here. Touch it again. No, dude, I've done a breakout room, and I'm not into like puzzles and stuff like that, but it was fun. It was pretty fun. Especially like when you're with other people that like are really into that type of thing. Oh, that's what we want. No, that's what you want, dude. It's good. Let's talk about this then. Let me look at some dates real quick. Jenny, right now we're talking about a goodbye event for the seniors. And also a youth event for July. Okay, so this is what we got. So next Friday is available. That's pretty quick.
Next Friday, like, I will be in Colorado.
So you won't be able to do that?
Or the next Friday.
Okay, so you can't do the first two. The 16th, I think I got something planned. And then we got the 23rd and the 30th. So really, guys, that's what we're looking at. The Friday the 23rd and Friday the 30th. For you guys have personal calendars?
Yes.
You boys know what's happening past 1 hour from now?
An hour.
Jordan doesn't. You don't know.
I'm
going
to be honest with you. I don't even know.
I know you don't. Selma, I'll trust Selma to cover up. So right now the 23rd and the 30th. I don't know, guys. The 23rd is Josh Smith's birthday. We might have to, in homage to Josh, we might have to leave that open. Yeah, absolutely. So Saturdays are definitely on the table. So not the 31st though, but the 24th is open, huh?
Wouldn't you not be able to do them at night if it's a Saturday?
Because it's softball.
Yeah, we have to do Friday into Saturday, right?
Nothing like a good lock-in before a softball game.
I tried to get them to do a lock-in before Worlds of Fun this weekend, so because I wanted it to end quickly. So I was like, let's do something where they're all worn out too much.
I would do that this weekend.
What's that? This a lock-in?
Yeah.
Could you been all?
She's gone.
No, thank you. No, I'll be here this weekend. I will be at Worlds of Fun.
Okay, so right now looking at the 23rd and the 30th, but we don't have like a potential activity yet, which is fine. You know, we can kind of let it sit for a little bit, let it marinate, and then maybe you guys will start smelling something that sounds appeasing.
We could do like midnight bowling at that one place.
Midnight bowling, very good. Where is that place?
Summit Lanes.
Summit Lanes is midnight bowling. Wow, Kenzie.
We have to look it up.
What about main event? I've never been there either.
Main event is fun.
Is it fun?
Yeah, laser tag.
So check this out. If we did something at main event and we wanted to do midnight, we could like kind of start out here at the church and then just shift ourselves on over there and see what happens. So that's a possibility. Possibility there.
Don't they have laser tag bowling, the rope thing, and then arcades
are going
on that. And then they have like young people.
Okay. So Does the 23rd or the 30th sound more appealing for any reason to anybody here? Colton?
I'll be able to go the 30th.
You can go the 30th.
Okay, so let's go.
I want you there, so I mean, that kind of stuff. What'd you say?
Let's go
to
the
23rd. 23rd? Oh, Ethan. Ethan, you're a loser, dude.
If you do the 30th too, then that's one more use for we get to come through.
That is true. I think we almost have to do the 30th now. Amanda. Yeah, let's do that, the 30th. Okay, guys, potentially the 30th. July 30th is what we're looking at. All right, we're going to say goodbye to July and goodbye to these seniors. July 30th. And I'm kind of liking that main event idea right now. We might do some midnight bowling. Yeah, that's a good point. Jenny, can you put that down? Call main event to see if we can reserve a midnight bowling time. For July the 30th? What time? No, I'm just kidding. Midnight.
And then just start at the
church. Yeah, we'll probably like eat dinner here at the church. I don't know, use the restroom, take it easy. When you guys go on trips, your parents just tell you to go to the restroom before you get in the car? Or are you guys too old?
No, I don't need to. I just hold it the entire time.
Oh, wow. Kenzie. She, like, gets there and it comes out like a brick and she, like, cuts it up.
No, like,
has to put it through a grinder before it can flush. Go ahead.
On the way to Ohio, like, whenever we drive, it's, like, 13 hours and I just hold it.
They put catheters on you guys? Oh, my gosh.
I do the same. Well, because I'm too lazy to get out of the car, so.
Oh, like.
What in the world? What in the world?
It's not painful. Like, I'm used to it, so I just hold it.
She's like, for her birthday, I just want a permanent catheter, Dak, please. No way I don't have to ever get out of bed. Just, yeah. Gosh. Oh, man. Dude. Oh, that's a good point. What do you guys want to eat? Do you seniors have a suggestion? What do you have?
Canes.
Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Canes again. Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, either one of those three.
Have a buffet of Canes, Chick-fil-A, and Chipotle. What's up? Oh, you say yeah. Do like a dish from each one, something like that. Okay. Let me put that down here. Oh, boy. All right. Guys, I think that's it. That's pretty good. Usually our first night, we don't get that far on planning stuff. You guys you came ready. I think that's because of you, Jordan. Thank you. I just felt like you gave off some type of aura.
Good job, Jordan.
Passed out to everyone else.
Smarter now that he can drive.
Exactly. It's the driver's license. Yeah, stepped up and did a devotion this week. Just everything.
Poor man.
He got his driver's license.
Still can't drive.
Let's sing, guys. Let's do some singing. It's been a while. I feel like we haven't sung forever, man.
I gotta get my water.
I'll be back. That's terrible.
I know.
I was like,
you can drive.
There's always a conflict.
She turns to her driver. Like, are we good?
Yeah.
No judgment.
It depends on
I'm just excited that the Foursquare thing is still out. Like, we don't even have to retape it. I hate retaping this.
You haven't seen her yet. She's so scared of having her. My mom makes me cry.
Your mom did make the mistake of having a space to keep in the group chat this time. Is that really rabbit trail?
She's crazy. She'll lay over and smile.
I started diving here and got almost
all
in the room.
Brand. No fall back on. Don't do that.
Let's stand up and sing, guys. Stand up and sing. All right. Selma, open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started singing here.
All righty. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for praising for the Lord Jesus. And I just want to thank you for letting us all be able to come together, Lord, and just fellowship and learn more about you, Lord. Please just help us to take everything in, Lord, and just apply it to our lives. And just help us all to have safe travels to Worlds of Fun and back, and just to have a good time and fellowship and just make it the best time we can, since we didn't get to go to camp this year, along with like the Branson trip and everything else that we have planned. Just help the youth event to run smoothly and work out all right. And in Jesus' name, forsake me,
amen. Amen. Let's start with number one. Oh, worship the King. It's good to get rolling on. Oh, worship the King. All right, number one. Here we go. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace. Whose canopy stays, His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path, the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Number 17.
Come, Thou Fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I'm come. And I hope by Thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood.
And oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter by my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart.
Take and
seal it.
Seal it for thy courts above.
All right, 299, day by day. Day by day. 299. Here we go. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me,
with a
sense show mercy for each hour.
He who cares, he found
and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor in Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the promise he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand. One by one the days,
moments fleeting,
till I reach
the promise.
298, God leads us alone. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children alone. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children alone. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Verse number 3, though sorrows befall, though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads some to the water, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. this is our goal right here, away from the mire, away from the clay, away up in glory, eternity's day. You know, when you guys start playing sports or when you start an instrument or when you get into school, your goal is not to be working on the same lessons that you were working on day one, right? And at some point in time, you want to progress to the point to where you can study harder things. You want to progress to the point to where you can do more advanced skills and stuff like that. Guys, as a Christian, and I hope this doesn't scare you. If it does, fine. Let it scare you. Let it scare you now before you get to the judgment seat of Christ. At some point in time, your affections ought to be transferring from things in this world to things that are up in heaven. All right? There ought to be a steady, consistent growth there. Right now, I'm 32. You know what I'm hoping? Hopefully, by the time I'm 33, I'm hoping that there's less that I'm excited about in this world and there's more I'm looking forward to in heaven. Amen. And then the year after that, it should be more and more and more. What a sad testimony. What a horrible thing for me. Let's say the Lord tarries until I'm 50. For me to be just excited about the same goofy things that I was excited about at 32. Away from the mire. Away from the clay. That's where God's leading. So if he's leading us in that direction and we don't end up further away from it, we must not be following him. All right? Verse number 4. Here we go. Away from the mire, away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Amen. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. 353, leave it there. 353, leave it there. Leave it here. Save the world, give me Jesus. 353, here we go. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel, he can save. Amen. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Number 3, when your enemies assail. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. And never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. And when your youthful days are gone and old age is stilling on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you again. Amen. To the end. Take your burden to the Lord. Verse number 4 again. When youthful days are gone. When your youthful days are gone. And old age is stilling on. And your body bends beneath the weight of care. He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end.
Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt,
He will surely
bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Whoa. I can't even go in there, dude. I mean, it's going to be like the Balrog. Only Jordan could. Yeah, Jordan's. We're all going to bottom out. But it's scary because I feel like on that course it gets really high, too, somewhere in here. Because I was trying to start lower. I was like, because I always cheat myself. I start really low, really high. Then I can't do the chord. Let's try it. Here we go. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything
to God in prayer.
Oh, what peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Oh, what needless pain we bear.
All because we do not tarry everything to God in prayer. Every trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Then we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows.
I can't. Only Jesus.
Jesus knows our every
weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Are we weak and heavy
laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our rest,
now and forevermore. Amen.
It to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee.
Thou wilt find a solace there.
This is Slow Song Thursday. 2:43, room at the cross for you. I was singing this one earlier at work. Hit me in the right spot, man. Listen to what it's saying here. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. The hand of my Savior is strong and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. Verse number one, here we go.
The cross upon which Jesus died,
too low,
is a shelter in which we can hide. And his grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
You guys have someone in mind right now? You know, while we're singing this song, you can also be praying for that person. And the Bible says, we know that whatsoever things we ask according to his will, he hears the petitions that we desired of him. Verse number 2. Though millions have found him a friend, and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for me and you. Cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. All right, you guys can pick the last two. Make them good now. Or I can keep going too. 240. Oh, is that, I'm praying for you? Beautiful. 245. I have a Savior. He's pleading in glory. A dear loving Savior, though earth's friends be few. And now he is watching in tenderness over me. But oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. Here we go. Verse 1. I have a Savior. He's pleading in glory. A dear loving Savior, though earth's friends be few, and now he is watching in tenderness o'er me. But oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. For you I am praying, for you I am praying, for you I am praying, I'm praying for you. Let's take it up a little bit. I have a Father, to me he has given a hope for eternity, blessed and true, and soon he will call me to meet him in heaven. But oh, that he'd let me bring you with me too. For you I am praying, for you I am praying, for you I am praying, I'm praying for you. I have a robe 'tis resplendent in whiteness, awaiting in glory my wandering view. Oh, when I receive it, all shining in brightness, dear friend, will I see you receiving one. Verse number 4. And when Christ has found you, tell others the story that my loving Savior is your Savior. 48. He ransomed me. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to finish on a high note here. 448. There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. And from sin and shame, he in loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame has brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Here we go. There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame has brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
Is that too high for you guys?
A little bit? Let's bring it out just a little bit. Just a little bit, all right. From the depths of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me. When I knew him not, he sought me. And in love divine he ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. By and by, with joy increasing, and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up to be with Christ eternally. I will join the host they're singing in the anthem ever ringing.
To the King!
To the King of love who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. All right, Jordan, pray for us and we'll have our message.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for bringing us all here tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just helps to get something from your words tonight, Lord. Not to only hear, but apply to our lives, Lord, our daily lives. Hopefully use it to somebody else, Lord. Lord, just thank you so much for everything that you've done for each and every single one of us, Lord. Keeping us safe out there and leading us along the way in the right path, Lord. Just please continue to do that for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our amoeba leaned one direction.
I deleted TikTok, okay?
Sorry, I am like unorganized right now. Let me get my Bible out. I'm gonna like be drinking a ton of water up here. I already killed my voice on singing, so. Yeah, I don't know how you do it, Zach.
I don't.
All righty. Well, we'll go ahead and get into it today. So, I don't know if any of you guys remember, it was about a year ago. Gosh, was it 2 years ago? I don't know. I can't remember. I did a lesson on the whole armor of God. And so, where that lesson, we pretty much talked about how you know, when Paul was in his jail cell and he looked out and he wanted to pick something to be an example of what the ideal Christian should be, he looked out and he saw a Roman centurion guarding his cell and decided, yeah, no, that's what a Christian should be. He related Christianity to being a soldier. And so the that first lesson, we went over all the different tools the Lord's given you to defend yourself and to attack with in certain situations. And so basically this is like part two of that lesson, where part one was about familiarizing yourself with the equipment that the Lord's giving you. Part two will be about familiarizing yourself with the enemies in the Christian, for the Christian soldier. So, and I mean, there's a severe importance in understanding your enemies. I'm kind of one of those guys where, like I don't want to say I'm like a prepper, but like I like knowing stuff. You know, like I'm one of those guys, like I get sucked into the YouTube holes, and so, you know, I like knowing stuff that I'll like never in a million years use. Like, for example, you know, you've got your, like, if you're in the woods, for example, you know, it's important, you know, if something's stalking you, if it's a, like a black bear, brown bear, or a mountain lion, you approach each one of those like enemies differently. And if you approach it with the wrong tactics, you're toast. For example, a black bear, they're easily intimidated. They're a little tiny. I mean, they're not super big. So, I mean, your best chance of fighting off a black bear is to just, like, look big and scary. Or if you're Colton, they'll just run away anyway. you know, make yourself big, you know, all those things. Now, the opposite of that, with a brown bear, you're supposed to play dead. Make yourself not a threat. You know, let sprawl out on the ground so it can't roll you over. Head behind the important bits and hope he just gets bored with you before you die. Like, but, or you can climb a tree, because brown bears can't climb trees. But brown bears, or black bears can. So if you climb a tree for the wrong type of bear, you're toast, okay? But then if a mountain lion is chasing you, like, you know, whereas you're trying to back up from a bear, if a mountain lion's coming after you, they say you got to stare it dead in the eyes. It's literally just a game of chicken. Like, you have to just, like, stand your ground and just... Caleb's doing really good, actually. I don't know. But so that's what you do. I bet. That's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good. But if you do that with a brown bear, now you're picking a fight with a brown bear. Who's going to win that one? So you see what I mean? It's like you gotta approach each one of those situations differently, because they're going to attack you in different ways, but you also can defend in different ways, and it just depends on what your situation is. And that is the exact same thing in your Christian walk. And so I'm going to cover basically the generalized three Christian enemies today. Starting with the world. So the world is your first enemy, and it is what I will dub the external enemy, okay? Ruckman, I've watched a video of him kind of explaining this before, and he draws the world as this creepy little shady guy with the drug cloaks on, like, you know what I mean, where he, like, is selling you something with, like, you know, yeah, one of those, and he draws him with a $100 bill in one hand and, like, a knife behind his back in the other one. That's basically how the world operates. It promises you something good, but it has something better, something different for you and behind. The goal of the world is to entice and distract you. That's what the devil wants it to do in your life. Some examples of the world and some things that, you know, some ways you'll tell that the world is trying to get after you. You'll hear phrases all the time like, you come first. You know, I don't know if you guys see that. This whole self-care movement that's all over everything, just the you do what's good for you and just screw everyone else, you know, like that's the super Christian attitude, right? Life is about you being happy. You know, some people really take that life, liberty, pursuit, happiness thing like as their motto that they want to hold to. Or this is also where your peer pressure fits in, right? You know, all your friends are doing it, it's not that bad. That's where, you know, that's the world coming after you. You'll also hear often, I mean, you don't really hear this, but this is the way people behave, the ideology of if it feels good, it is good. You know, that's pretty much everything nowadays. There is not a single thing in the world that you can say that's bad and then someone won't disagree with you and be like, well, cocaine actually did wonders on my life, you know? They'll hit you with something like that every time. Or, you know, and this isn't exactly your life right now, but telling you some things that are going to happen in your future. You know, when you get in your professional life, that's going to be all over you. There's the constant drive that you've got to be the top dog. You need to be in the most prestigious position. You need the best grades so that you can get the highest paying job. So everybody will look up to you at whatever position you're in. And you know, it sounds easy to be like, oh no, I would never get caught up in that. But then, you know, all of a sudden your boss starts looking at you weird because you won't work overtime. You know, all of a sudden your friends or coworkers stop inviting you to things because you won't go out to drink with them. All of a sudden it starts costing you something, and it's not quite so fun to avoid the world. You know, this will also be that you need to be in all the sports. You need to be overly involved in all the extracurriculars. You need to be have all the toys. You need to work so hard that you can have everything that you've ever wanted in your heart's desire. And once again, everything in balance. But these are the things that, you know, if you hear these things coming at you, this is what the world is trying to tell you. Let's look at what the world or what the Bible says about listening to the world in 1 John 2. Alrighty, 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. 15:17 is the page if you're not there yet. Says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here's the kicker. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So this is the crux of the world. It's going to promise you that this will make you happy. It's going to promise you that this will be fulfilling for you. But the truth of the matter is, what did that verse just say? All that stuff's going to pass away. You know, I feel bad for people that spend their whole life working for a career or working for self-fulfillment, and then on their deathbed, they have to look back and realize that nothing they did is going to last. Everything's going to burn. You know, that must be a terrible feeling. Praise the Lord, I'm not going to have to feel that, hopefully. But, you know, and look at all the people, you know, your case study here is all the people who have everything the world says you need, but then it doesn't work out for them. Small list for you of just the musicians, okay? Kurt Cobain died of suicide. Prince, top of the world, died of a fentanyl overdose. Amy Winehouse died of alcohol poisoning. Whitney Houston drowned with cocaine, prescription drugs, and marijuana in her system. Freddie Mercury died of AIDS. Tupac got shot. Dee Dee Ramone of the Ramones died of a heroin overdose. Avicii committed suicide with a broken wine bottle. Brian Jones, the co-founder of Rolling Stones, drowned while drunk. Mac Miller, drug overdose. Marvin Gaye, drugs and alcohol. Hillel Slovak, founding member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, died of a heroin overdose. Juice WRLD overdosed. Jimi Hendrix overdosed on sleeping pills and choked on his own vomit. And then got your classic Elvis. I did not know the full story of Elvis. I looked this up. He had like done so many drugs when he was young that it like jacked with his veins. So he was in the bathroom like squeezing out a big boy and had an aneurysm and like literally just like fell face first dead off the toilet. So there's your, that's where the world gets you though. These are people that had, they were top. There's nobody above where Elvis was at. There was nobody above where, you know, where these guys in their world, there was nobody above them. They were top of the world. But what did it get them? Obviously, they weren't fulfilled. They kept chasing that drive. They kept chasing that high, and it didn't get them anything. So how do you fight the world? Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You fight the world by keeping in the book. Remember, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know through discipleship, this is one of the first verses we go over, that you do that day by day, getting into the Word. The Bible gives you the clarity to know what the world's offer isn't good. You know, the world's going to entice you with stuff, but the Bible tells you what that actually leads to. The Bible keeps you humble. The Bible will help you prioritize. You want a case study, just, you know, stand around in church long enough and kind of, I'm not saying you judge people, but when people leave the church, how quick do they get sucked up in a bunch of worldly things? It's like that. As soon as someone drops the Bible, they just get sucked away into the world. And you guys know this. I mean, you've seen it. This last year was a good case point. So that's the world. The way you avoid that is you got to stay in the Bible. That's your day-to-day renewing of your mind. That keeps the world from getting inside you and keeps your attitude towards the heaven. The second enemy you will face is your flesh. Whereas the world was an external enemy, your flesh is your internal enemy. A couple examples of what the flesh looks like in your day-to-day life. You know, it's okay to check out that hot guy over there. You know, I'm too tired to read my Bible. Nobody will know if I look at things I'm not supposed to. I'm not as bad as that person. I'm so much better than that person. They deserve it. It was just a little lie, or it was just a little sip. Those are the things that you hear from your flesh. Those are the things that it feeds you. Now, how do you fight the flesh? Here's the thing. It's different. Remember I told you, you fight different things differently. The flesh is different. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee from youthful lusts. Flee. Why? Because it's a given that you're not going to win a fight. If you square up with the flesh in the boxing ring, it'll whoop you every single time. Flip to Genesis 39. Start in verse 8. Verse 7. I lied. Wrong page. Okay. So basically, at this point in time, Joseph, you've heard of him, right? He is slowly gaining prestige in his master's palace. He's getting, you know, privileges. He's getting let into the master's house. He's, you know, climbing up the ladder. All of a sudden, here's what happens. In verse 7, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I, and neither hath he kept anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Not sin against his master, sin against God. Verse 10. "And it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got him out." So this is a perfect example of how you deal with that flesh. He was like, did he play around and say, no, sorry, honey. Like, you know, maybe just a peck, you know, or just, you know, or we can just hold hands or something. No. What did the boy do? He didn't even take the time to grab his pants. He just out the door. See ya. And that's how you got to mentally fight the flesh. 1 Corinthians 10:15, referring to how to deal with strongholds, says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The flesh is so powerful, you guys, you can't even think about the things that excite your flesh. You got to keep those puppies locked down and under control, because it just takes that little tiny seed. You don't even have to open the door. You can just unlock it, and the flesh will walk right on in. Perhaps the most dangerous place that you guys specifically might fight the flesh in the near future is in dating. What does the flesh sound like in a dating environment? It says, "I don't care if they're saved," or "I don't care if they go to church. I want to date them. It's fine. I have no long-term intentions. I just want to have fun." Is that God's plan for dating? You'd be surprised to find out that dating's not even in the Bible. It's kind of this weird little thing that we made up, and I think it causes more harm than good, to tell you the truth, but I'm not entirely sure on that. But here's the biggest one that you guys are going to face, the biggest lie, is that, quote, we can control ourselves. I've got a case study, kind of my own life, on this situation. 1 year I was in college, and I was in a part of a big college church group, so naturally on my senior year there was 14 weddings. In 1 year. It was awful. I got really good at the cha-cha slide, but outside of that, it was not worth it. No, it's terrible. But I was personally close to like 4 or 5 of those couples. We were in a small group together, and you guys have not, praise the Lord, been in an evangelical small group, but they're basically just like share your feeling moments of like all the stuff that's going on in your life. And there was good to come from it, but I would say out of those 14 weddings, there was probably 4 or 5 of those couples that I was really, super tight with, knew them very well. And we all got engaged within like a couple months of each other and all got married within a couple months of each other. So it provided me with this weird situation where I could like kind of look at the way that all of these couples handled their relationship and see how it progressed in that exact same setting. It was a very interesting situation in time. All of those couples pretty much were very physical and never tried to be in control of their flesh, never really tried to do anything. Once again, born again, saved, wonderful people, love them to death. You know, in contrast, I screwed up enough, young enough, that I knew better, and Kenzie was smarter than me. Kenzie and I put principles and relationship, or principles and rules into our relationship. You know, examples, we just, you know, we wouldn't go into each other's bedrooms, or, you know, we wouldn't lay down on a bed together, or anything like that. Believe it or not, it's kind of awkward to talk about, but Kenzie and I didn't even kiss till we were engaged, actually. And now, you guys hear me, and you say, that's kind of weird. But no, what's weird is opening the door for the flesh in the most important relationship you will ever have. That's weird. And back to the case study, out of us and then those other five couples, I think maybe one of those couples stayed pure till marriage. Born again, saved Christians. Why did that happen though? Because you don't play with the flesh. You can't open up that door. You're not strong enough to fight it. I'm not saying you have to avoid premarital eye contact. I'm not saying that you have to do it just like Kenzie and I did. I'm not saying that anybody who doesn't like us doesn't do it like us did it wrong. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is you have to be smart, okay? And if you get nothing else from this message, and I'm not even, this doesn't even just relate to dating, but just dealing with the flesh in general, if you get nothing else from this message, hear me now, okay? Do not put yourself in a situation where you are relying on your own self-control over your flesh. I'll say it again. Do not put yourself in a situation where you're relying on your self-control to fight your flesh. Okay? Once again, if you square up with the flesh in that boxing ring, you're not going to win. You must have accountability. You got to have principles put in place before you see the flesh coming down the line. Otherwise, it'll trample right on over you. If social media is a problem for you, just get rid of it. You'll live, I promise.
Amen.
Kenzie and I, like, I have zero self-control when it comes to, like, I don't know, browsing things on the internet or whatever. So Kenzie and I, we have screen time set up on each other's phone. So, like, I have her password, she has mine. So we only get a certain amount of time on, like, internet on our phones, because otherwise we just burn it all day. Avoid dangerous alone time with your SOs before you get married. If you know that you're going to gossip in that group of friends, stop hanging out with them. Don't go around them. Ruckman had this good analogy once. He said, a car in neutral will always roll the same direction, downhill. Same thing happens with a Christian. A Christian in neutral will always roll downhill. So to avoid rolling downhill, what do you got to do? You got to keep it in gear. You can never take a break. You can never let your diligence slack. You can never, you know, sleep on the job. You've got to stay on top of it and make sure that door for your flesh is locked. Just like avoiding the world, it's a daily process. The last enemy that you fight on a day-to-day basis, the devil. Whereas the flesh was your external enemy, or the world was your external enemy, your flesh was your internal enemy, the devil will be your infernal enemy. That was great. I worked hard on that one. I was so proud of myself. You got to get that alliteration, right? Even though it's not alliteration. Anyway, the devil is not to be underestimated. I say that because culture today likes to humanize the devil. If I had a nickel for every time I saw a Facebook post that was like, not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. Just like, you know, like, great. Yeah, you're really showing it to the devil there. Yep. Yep. That's how you do it. Or I was watching on my family vacation, we watched Emperor's New Groove. And I completely forgot how, like, in all the old shows, they always had the devil and the angel on the two shoulders, right? And the devil's the guy that half the time you're kind of like, he's like the funny one, or he's the one that you kind of side with, right? Netflix now has this show that it keeps advertising every time we get on Netflix, is the Lucifer show. I don't know, they try to turn the devil into some suave, I don't know, businessman or something. But the world likes to humanize the devil and try to make him kind of like he's your pal, like he's your buddy. The Bible talks about that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever stood next to a big animal
I'm one of those people where, you know, I've only stood next to like a horse a couple times. But when you're next to a horse that's like as tall as you, there's just like a moment where you're kind of just like, thing's big, you know? Or have you guys gone and fed the elk and the bison at the, what is it? It's like Lotawana. Yeah, exactly. Like, you get close to one of those things, you're like, dude, this is terrifying, being next to like some animal that's that huge. Or next to Vega, you know? He's quite large. That's kind of how the attitude should be about the devil. It's not that he's, not that you're not, you know, friends with the lion tamer, but still a lion, right? Even Michael, at one point in time in the Bible, talks about how he wouldn't even raise a railing accusation against the devil. When the archangel isn't going to go after the devil the same way us Instagram nuggets will, I mean, you know, you might want to reevaluate the situation here. The devil works in three main ways. He works, first of all, by counterfeit, i.e. something bad pretending to be something good. The Bible clearly states that God is not the author of confusion, so if God's not the author of confusion, who is? Right? So God's going to make a clear line of Bibles. The devil will mess that up and muddy it up. The God of the universe will make a spirit, have a spirit. So the devil will make a bunch of fake spirits, charismatic movement. God will have teachers, so the devil will make teachers. Those are your wolves in sheep clothing. God will have believers, so the devil will have believers that aren't believers. But nonetheless, they will pretend to be. We know, you've heard Bob talk about a million times, how if the devil walked in one side, Jesus walked in the other, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. Because why? The devil manifests himself as an angel of light. He does everything he can to make himself look good, make him look holy, right? The only way you can fight against that is by staying in the Word. Spoilers. The second thing that the devil does is camouflage. He'll hide something bad, or will hide the badness of something. John 8:44 says the devil is the father of lying. So he's pretty good at what he does in camouflaging things for his purposes. I think one of the coolest ways, and you got to follow me with this one, you got to like focus in. I'm gonna try to show you something cool. I think it's cool. It's probably just nerdy. But music is one of the fantastic barometers of what's going on in the world. You can tell a lot about what's happening by the music of an age. I'm going to real quick look at Romans chapter 1. This seems unrelated, but I'll show you this. Romans chapter 1 describes what's going to happen to all of the Gentiles. Basically describes the path that Gentiles will take as they turn away from God, as they move away from God. These are the steps that they're going to take and their ultimate end. Okay? How am I doing on time? What do we got? I can... Okay. We're all right. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not. So that'll be the first thing Gentiles stop doing. Right? They'll stop glorifying God. The second thing they'll stop doing says, as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. You'll see that. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through their lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. That's a big one. Who blessed them forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile afflictions. For even their women did change the natural use that into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust toward one another. And men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So basically, at this point in time, This is kind of the path that Gentiles will take. Okay? They're going to stop glorifying God. They'll stop being thankful for the thing God's given them. They'll start being vain in their imaginations. They'll profess to be wise. They'll profess to know better than religion. They'll change the glory of God to like man. They'll turn the truth of God into a lie. They'll serve the creature more than the Creator.
and then they're given over to vile affections. This is where your sex, your homosexuality, your trans rights, your abortion, which is just wanting to have sex without consequences, all that stuff comes in. That's where all that fits in. And we've seen that happen down throughout history. And in music, I think you can actually see this happen as well. So, I mean, this is all, you know, from Zach's lesson too. We start off in the Baroque period, you know, way back in the day, right around 1600, in that area where you've got music by men that love the Lord, they're saved, you got your Bach, you've got your Handel, you've got all those guys that have music that glorifies the Lord. Classical period, still music that glorifies the Lord, a little bit different, but still largely decent. Romantic period, it all changes into now all music is focused on man and man's emotions and man's feelings. You start to see now that men stop thinking about God. They stop being thankful for God. Now they start, you know, worshiping emotions. They start worshiping the creature, right, more than the creator. You see that go along down the line through the romantic area, and you get into the modern area, and now you get to pop, and now every single song that ever exists is about sex. And if you think I'm lying, you don't know innuendos very well. Because every single song, including the ones I hear you guys sing in church, is about sex. I guarantee you. And so you get to that point. But then I think there's something interesting that kind of started in the 70s is where I kind of see it happen in music. It was probably happening earlier. I'm going to read you the lyrics to Imagine, the John Lennon song, right? I think it's John Lennon, right? Okay, listen to this. Okay, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. I'm not doing it again. Imagine all the no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. That's the lyrics to what I consider to be the most demonic song that ever existed. So, think about it. Where does that fit into that Romans chapter 1? Where in Romans chapter 1 does it say, well, yeah, imagine there's no countries. That doesn't make sense. Imagine a brotherhood of man, peace, unity, no need for greed or hunger, no possessions. None of that sounds like, you know, Gentiles wanting to get their stuff and, you know, dog eat dog. What is it then? If that's not coming from Gentiles, where's that coming from? It's coming from the devil. It's coming from what he needs to do. We know that in the tribulation, the devil is going to have a one-world society. We know that he's going to get the world to all be banded together under one nation, under peace, and under one religion. We know that that's what he's going to do. And so if you're paying attention, you can see him pushing that even now. There's no reason for Gentiles to want to have world peace and, you know, getting rid of religion, imagine there's no countries. That doesn't fit into what the Bible says Gentiles are going to do. But that does fit in and push towards what the devil is eventually going towards in the tribulation. And so you can see the devil's influence pushing man in that direction now. You'll also see this in things like critical race theory and social justice. Now you say, how does that fit? Well, in order to stand up a one-world system, what do you got to do? You got to tear down all the systems that are already in it. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. And this is the trick of being a Christian. You got to understand, there's things in critical race theory and social justice where you'll hear, well, yeah, like, I'm against racism. I would love for people to know the things that, you know black history. I'm fine with that. That's cool. That's great. But, you know, and so Christians will do this silly, foolish thing. Well, they'll jump on these bandwagons because they think, well, I don't want to be known as a racist. I don't want to be known as a bad guy. But here's the thing. Those systems only exist to tear down the systems that are stood up. There is the true fulfillment of critical race theory. I mean, if you don't believe me, look at who made the group. Look at what its actual beliefs are. It's all about Marxism. It's all about tearing down the system. They will not be happy until every stupid white guy that built the system we have right now is, like, dug up and burned. That's how it is. And so you'll see the devil's lies and the devil's camouflage in those systems slowly pushing towards the direction that he wants to go. You'll also see this in postmodernism. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that word, but that's this belief of that there's no objective truth. You've heard people say, well, that's your truth. You know, I've got my truth, you've got your truth. The reason that that's happening now is that objective truth divides. You know, if there's an objective truth, then there's right and wrong. But if everybody's truth is subjective, you can all get together under one big happy umbrella and you have no disagreements. I mean, this is, heck, even your hippies. Your peace, make love, not war, that whole environment. It's all pushing towards that direction of, you know, the devil's pushing society towards that final government he's trying to stand up. Last but not least, the devil operates through compromise. This is easing you into something bad. How do you think the Laodicean church came about? You know, one point in time, someone would say, well, we don't need to hold on to that King James Version. I got a new one now. I think it's better. You don't need to believe the Bible's 100% true. I mean, there's some weird stuff in there, and I don't want to explain to my friends that I believe some of those things. So, yeah, you know, maybe I'll just forget about some of those sections. Or maybe Adam and Eve is allegorical, and maybe Revelations is just a simile or something. You don't need to believe all the parts of the Bible, and eventually turns into the part where you can pick what parts of the Bible are true to you. That is what it is today. I had a friend at work that was telling me that, he's like, oh, I just got so spiritually enlightened. One, I just was so struggling with the idea that women couldn't be pastors, and so I talked to my Methodist pastor about it, and he said, oh, well, Paul was wrong. And he's like, and that opened my eyes. Now I can see that, you know, the people in the Bible can be wrong, and, you know, and he was trying to tell me how spiritual he was by that, and I was like, okay, whatever. You know, you'll see this with evangelicals. I say that because that's the joint I came out of. You know, the point of, or the, what happened to evangelicals is they watered down every doctrine they had so that people would join. They got to the point where they focused more on numbers and more on outreach than on doctrine. So, you know, it would happen where, oh, that doctrine upsets you. You'll leave the church. Oh, we'll just stop preaching it. That'll be fine. We won't talk about anything like that. And that's why, I mean, growing up, I thought I knew the entire Bible. Because, I mean, I heard the same six stories about be a good person and, you know, whatever. Or in your personal life, too, you'll have situations where you can think about how, you know, well, I don't really need to be involved in a ministry right now. I'm kind of busy. You know, I can miss a Sunday. I don't have to go to Thursdays. I can just watch the YouTube stream this week. And it eventually leads to a point where I don't need to go to church anymore. And what did we talk about earlier? As soon as you step out of church, as soon as you step out of the Bible, you're on a one-way ticket towards the world. So how do you fight the devil? James 4:7 says two things. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, the key here is that's not a passive thing. Resisting is actively moving against something, right? You know, all those videos of cops trying to tackle some dude. It's just, stop resisting! Stop resisting! That's what's resisting in that context? Well, the person, their cops are trying to get the dude into the cop car, and he's trying to go anyway but the cop car, right? So that's what we do as resisting, is that we're trying to move against the direction that the devil is trying to push. The theme here, I don't know if you've caught a theme, the world. Renewing your mind daily in the word is how you fight the world. Flesh, fleeing and actively avoiding bad situations in your life that give your flesh control, to a point where you're kidnapping and controlling every single thought that comes into your life. And then the devil resisting and pushing against what the devil is trying to do. All of those are active things that are happening 24/7 in your life. Not a single one of those is something passive that you can just set up, that you can just leave be and just go about your day and not think about it. Just like true soldiers, we never get a break. There's no discharge from the war. And you cannot get victory over your enemies by accident. There's no battle in history won by accident. Well, maybe. There's weird stuff that's happened. But in reality, most battles aren't won by accident. What? They're won by good planning. They're won by battle tactics. They're won by the diligence of the men that put the time in and put the effort in so that they could actually fight the way they were supposed to fight. And so if you want to beat the Christian enemies in your life, you have to intentionally every day decide that you're going to fight the enemies in your life. You're going to have to do the work so that you're equipped with your armor and equipped with your sword and get to a point where you treat yourself like you are an actual soldier. And then and only then, and if you actively pursue that every day, then maybe you can beat the enemies in your Christian walk. So, that's all I've got for you guys.
Hey, how many of you guys are, just by a show of hands real quick, are worried about how you're going to fare with the judgment seat of Christ? Let me see your hands. How many of you guys don't worry about that at all? Keep your hands down. Okay. Guys, the only reason I said that before we pray is because it's such a blessing that God has given us just an abundance of people in our church. And just like Jared's, you know, just practical lesson like that right there. If you're paying attention, guys, you get everything you need to be able to show up good at the judgment seat of Christ. It's just that simple. You know, renew yourself in the word. You know, resist the flesh. Or resist the devil when he comes up against you. Just these simple concepts like that. If you don't learn anything else, if you don't pay attention to anything else, if you don't understand how all the Bible runs together and the different doctrines and the deep things of God and all that stuff like that, if you could take those simple principles and apply those to your life, dude, you'd be set for all eternity.
you're going to be rolling up there, you know. And so I just hope you guys, you know, realize that. Right now it doesn't look like it's very valuable because it's dusty. It's in a church with stains all over the place. You don't know if these are water stains or urine stains and stuff like this. So it's just like, can what Jared just said really be that valuable? Man, wait until you take that last breath and you're standing before God and you see exactly what stuff like that produces when you put it in your life. It really is. It's hidden right now. It's hidden in clay. It's hidden in the mire. But once it goes to that fire, it's going to come out like gold, silver, and precious stones. And some are going to have some and some aren't going to have any at all. So don't be fooled. The stuff that's glittering right now is not gold. And the stuff that looks like it's refusable and you want to throw it away and get rid of it, that's the stuff you better cling to. Think about Jesus Christ. Look how he was when he was down here, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But what was he after he took his last breath? King of glory. King of kings, Lord of lords. That's the pattern, guys. Don't despise the small little things that we do here at this church. What you get in the Bible, the clear teaching, the clear direction, the simple practical truths that if you apply to your life, man, you're going to be set. So that's my prayer for you guys. And let's close it out. Lord, please, the kids that want that, that want to finish their course, Lord, that's where I'm at right now. No matter what I've done up to this point, Lord, I just want to finish strong for you. I don't know what's going to come our way in these next coming years and months or however much time we have down here, but Lord, help me and help those that want to be counted faithful before you to finish strong, Lord, and take these simple concepts and apply them to our lives. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.